From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone. Today we have a topic that should be a part of medical education, as well as everyone's education. The title of the book is The Power of the Educated Patient, written by Irene Drabkin. On the front cover is a quote from Dr. Bernie Siegel. It says, Irene's book can be your life coach and guide you to healing your life and body. Empower yourself and show up for practice by reading her book and its wisdom. And I must say that part of what made being a doctor difficult for me and which led me to change was the fact that I was never trained. And believe me, I've written letters to multiple deans of medical schools who never answer me. But saying that you didn't train me to take care of people, and that included patients or myself, you know, dealing with the difficulties. And a sentence that I think says it very well and what this book helps with is that doctors are trained to treat the result, not the cause. So we're treating a diagnosis, but we're not treating a person who is experiencing an illness. And I will introduce our guest in a minute because I never stop talking. I mean, because this is a part of what I think everyone needs to know. But it's, again, a medical ad in the New England Journal of Medicine from Sandoz Pharmaceutical Company a few years ago read, I was depressed, unable to cope. I went to see my physician. He prescribed the drug that the ad is about, and I feel better now. I wrote to the journal and to the pharmaceutical company, and I said, excuse me, I've had a tragedy in my family. I'm depressed. I go to a doctor, and I'm handed a pill. Don't you think you should put another line in the ad that says, sit down, tell me what's troubling you? Then say, okay, here's a pill. And they canceled the ad. The Power of the Educated Patient by Irene Drabkin. And it, well, the subtitle, Proven Strategies for Reclaiming Your Health and Well-Being that You Won't Find in a Conventional Medical Office. And some of the various chapters related to food intolerances, autoimmune diseases, cancer, immune deficiency, chronic disorders, infections, drug reactions. I mean, it's an education. There are more topics than that, too. And Irene, what got you to write this book?
Well, Bernie, first of all, may I thank you for having me on your show. I'm very humbled and very honored to be here, to be at your presence. Thank you so much for choosing me and my book. And what made me, so the question, what made me to write this book is that probably most of all my own stories. We have, you know, there is a saying, we teach what we need to learn. And right. I have my own story of healing my daughter, of healing my son. And unfortunately, the conventional medicine couldn't help me, couldn't help my children. So I had to find ways to help us through an alternative. And this was the beginning. That's how I got into my journey. And in the maybe worst known fact is that I came from both worlds. I have a full family of physicians, including my mother and my husband. So I used to the conventional way of thinking. But when it couldn't help us, I had to find a way. And I found help through an alternative medicine. And I like how you wrote, Bernie, that mind-body medicine should not be even called an alternative. This is real medicine. This is what helps. So right. That's what got me started. If I can tell in brief my daughter's story, if you...
Yes, go ahead.
I should.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, because I think it'll help, because I was going to share a personal story, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I have in my book, I have many stories, over 20 stories. Let me just tell you, I've interviewed over 20 people around the world, and all those people, they got sick, and their first move was to seek help from conventional medicine, and they couldn't get healed. And then they approached the alternative medicine. And the very first story in the book is my own story. It's my daughter's story. She a couple of years ago already, she was a very healthy child, but when she started her first grade, she started to get the stomach ache, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And then within a month, she became literally disabled because she was afraid to go to school. She was afraid to participate in any activities she had. And because she had this pain, this unexpected pain, we never knew when it was going to come. And she had to go to the bathroom. And so she couldn't live her life. And we've tried everything. We've tried the prescription medicines, and we've tried doctors, and I've tried all. I am a holistic mother. I am a holistic health counselor. So I've tried all the tools I have, like different oils, different homeopathic medicine, and she was diagnosed with heartburn, which I knew she had by that time. So, but she was tested negative for celiac disease and for gluten intolerance. So we've tried everything, nothing worked, and we ended up going to Harvard-trained physician, and she was prescribed more medicine, but nothing helped, and she was getting worse and worse. And I actually gave up, and I gave her the medicine she was prescribed, and it wasn't helping. And she was frightened. She was scared that now nothing could help her. Mm. And after I tried everything, the only option I had, the only choice I didn't try was gluten, trying to take her off gluten. And I've known about it, but because she was tested negative for gluten sensitivity, I didn't think she had it. And I'll never forget it. I remember I did my food shopping on Saturday, and on Sunday all I did was I took away all the breads and pastas she loved, and I just gave her gluten-free pasta. And I took her to school on Monday, and usually she would cry. She was afraid to go to school. She was afraid to leave me.
Right.
And when I came to pick her up, the way it was, she would cry and tell me how many times she got sick. And that Monday, she started to laugh and tell me how good her day was. And a few minutes later, I stopped her and I asked her, Adele, did you get sick? How many times did you get sick? And she stopped for a second and she thought, and then she said, Mommy, I forgot all about it. It didn't bother me anymore. The pain didn't bother me today. And she was happy. And then the next day, on Tuesday, the same thing happened. And on Wednesday, I didn't even ask her. So this was very powerful for me, for my family, for my husband, who is a physician, because he didn't believe that would help. Nobody would. And it's been almost 2 years now, and we keep like 90% gluten-free, 95% gluten-free, and it works for our family. And everybody got better. Everybody's health in our family. Everybody's health. My parents, because they have, they got gluten-free food to feed their grandchildren. Their health got better, and ours, my digestion, my skin, everybody got better. And this was such a simple solution. The revelation, the shock for me was it was such a simple and inexpensive solution, and which we took and which helped. And if I didn't go that route, the next step for me and my daughter was to put her under full anesthesia to do she was supposed to do endoscopy, which wouldn't help. I mean, it didn't guarantee any results. And to put a child under anesthesia to do such a big procedure, and it just didn't make sense to me. So, but if I didn't know better, I would have to do that. I would have to do what most moms do, because we're trained to trust our doctors. We are trained to believe that what they say is true. And unfortunately, and I have to repeat, unfortunately, it's not the same. It's not truth anymore. I was taught when I was brought up to believe my doctor, to follow the instructions step by step, and that's not the case anymore. We have to become educated so we can become our own health advocates, because unfortunately, and it's not, in many cases, it's not the doctor's fault. It's that they are not taught, they're not educated, they're not taught.
Right, it has more to do with ignorance than they're not evil, but ignorant. That's why I say we weren't trained to take care of people. I came up with the new word. See, the word patient means a submissive sufferer. If you were a good patient, you would have gone on with all your daughter's troubles and never done anything. But you were what I call a respite, which is a making up a new word from responsible participant. And that's what people need to be. They need to be responsible participants. Take responsibility, participate, question doctors, find other doctors, other resources. Many years ago in my family, my wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And again, what do doctors do? They tell you what's going to happen. Doesn't matter what the disease is. This is what's going to happen to you. This is when you'll die. And that kills people, because if you take hope away. But I got into holistic medicine then, even became president of the American Holistic Medical Association many decades ago, because I found other physicians who were intelligent, capable physicians, but were doing things that the traditional doctors thought, oh, that's crazy. You know, that doesn't make sense. But it did, and it made a difference. And so it opened my mind, as well as a patient saying to me, I need to know how to live between office visits. And again, when you help people start living, it's a whole different approach than when you're just looking at the disease. And another thing, something else, it's on the front cover of your book, The Secrets to How Savvy Patients Overcame Their Diseases Through Integrative Medicine, Natural Therapies, Lifestyle Modifications, and Healing Foods. What cured them? Why it works? How it can work for you? That's the part people need to explore, because the way I put it is there's a pattern to people who don't die when they're supposed to. See, as a matter of fact, one psychiatrist called it an immune competent personality, because many years ago when AIDS first came out, he started caring for AIDS patients to help them deal with emotional issues. And he noticed there were certain of them who weren't dying, and he put their personalities together. And again, it's like what you call the power of the educated patient. These were people who had a will to live, who expressed emotions, you know, got information, made decisions, had relationships, all kinds of things that affected them and their immune system and other things. So again, what you're teaching people is giving them a role model. Because I often say to people, because we know this is true, that if you draw blood from people while they're acting in a play, if it's a comedy, immune function is improved, stress hormone levels go down. If it's a tragedy, the opposite. The immune function goes down, stress hormone levels go up. So literally, actors are more likely to get sick in a tragic play. But it also shows us that if we act and behave as if you're the person you want to be, then it changes your body because your body is getting the message that your mind is sending it. And I was just talking to a neighbor of mine who was worrying about some cardiac surgery he was going to have. But I said to him, 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, picture yourself going to the hospital, having it done, everything going beautifully. And it did go very well. But again, see, if he needed it next week, he wouldn't be worrying because he had this wonderful experience. But when you're in a panic, you're setting yourself up for trouble and side effects. And another thing that doctors aren't trained to do is talk to people. So we don't, what I call an article on my website, BernieSiegelMD.com, is deceiving people into health. That a doctor's words are hypnotic. So if we give you a positive message, you're more likely to have it happen, even if I'm lying to you, okay? And I mean this literally, because of medical errors, doctors didn't realize they weren't treating people. And this includes cancer, okay? Why? Because from chemotherapy, from radiation, people were having the side effects and even had tumor shrinking while they were not being treated because of medical errors, but they thought they were because the doctor thought they were. And I always remember one of the doctors saying to me, I just discovered I haven't treated anybody for a month. I feel terrible. I said, you're not a dumbbell. You would have known if you weren't treating people. So obviously they all acted as if they were being treated. And his eyes almost popped out of his head because it never occurred to him that that's why he didn't know until they did their routine check of the treatment. In this case, it had to be the radiation. It was a radiation machine. There was no radioactive material in it. And so, again, that impressed him, like how powerful his patients' minds were. And so, again, when you become their, what I call, life coach, you help them to become, you know, that kind of survivor and display that kind of behavior. But I have to add this for those listening. The inspiration has to be in the person reading the book, because I can give this book to 100 people and some of them won't open it because they don't have that inspiration and they're not looking for the information. And I'd say to those who need information, yes, then you pick up, you read, and you use it. And one other thing that I found, too, that it's not an issue of guilt, that if you said, but what if I don't get better, then I did it all wrong. It's about participating, you know, of making an effort, not just being passive and having happen what everybody tells you, but stepping up and taking a role. And I have to say, as a parent, you displayed the right thing, too, working with your child, letting your child know you love them, not blaming them, but, you know, putting all those things together. There's a lot to learn from you and all you've written. I'll take a breath. What are your thoughts?
Thank you, Bernie. Yes, yes. I mean, the book has over 20 stories, and all of those are true stories, real stories, very powerful, very inspiring. My life has changed because I've talked to those people, and all of them tried to get help from conventional medicine first, and they just didn't find it. And for some of them, it took years. I have a story with a girl. She was 10, and her parents searched for the diagnosis. They didn't know what was wrong with her for 2.5 years, and she was disabled. She couldn't go to school. Now, 10 years later, she is like, she she went to, she's studying medicine, she's a beautiful woman. So, but it took her 2.5 years because her parents didn't occur to them that they should try an alternative. They should look elsewhere. And it happened by chance. So, So all those stories, this book and these stories, they are like a shortcut. If you read the story, you may recognize yourself or somebody you know, somebody you love, who has the same or similar symptoms. So it's a shortcut to save you time, to save you energy and money,
right,
and get to the right practitioner right now. So again, and it's very inspiring to see that somebody else did it. So if somebody else did it, that you can do that too. And so that's what I do. I empower people, as you said, Bernie, to get educated and to get involved. You have to get involved in your healthcare.
Yeah.
You have to be able to, you know, to participate in the health choices you make, because you can't just blindly follow a physician, unfortunately. You have to participate, and that's the main message of the book. The main message is you have to be educated enough so you can make the right decision, and you can choose what works for you from both conventional and unconventional. Because
right,
many people who told me their stories, they use both. They still use some conventional therapies, but they added something from unconventional, and it helped them to heal. And again, I don't want people to lose years. I want them to find their healing now, today.
Right.
And something else, what I've learned from talking, you know, from to everybody, what they said, that there was a dramatic difference between their experience in conventional and integrative office. Only in integrative medical office, they were giving the time. As you said, they were giving the time to explain what was wrong with them. Nowadays, doctors, they only have a few minutes for us, so they don't, unfortunately, they don't have the time to listen to us. So in the integrative office, they were giving the time to explain.
Right.
And they felt that they were listened to. They were heard. They
yes,
were giving
when
their
we get
attention.
Back, we have to
and
take a break.
And only in
but
the integrative
wait.
Office, they felt like
Irene,
the doctor
we have to
with
take
them
a break.
As a team.
We have to take a break, Irene. When we come back, we'll talk about the listening, too. That's very important,
okay,
and the experience.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings in the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
The pressure is on. Can you feel it? Life as we've known it is no longer working. Why? We are awakening. The true core self is alive within us now and has a new life to live. What does this mean? How do we live from here? Join us live every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern as spiritual embodiment coach and trainer Ambujam Rose explains this mass awakening. Ambujam's direct approach teaches you how to navigate this new wild ride, educates you on how to strengthen your spiritual core, and takes your calls for personal spiritual core training. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back, everyone. One of the words that Irene used, the author of the book, The Power of the Educated Patient, Irene Drabkin, used the word listen. And I think that's something, again, especially the way medicine is today, doctors are told to hurry up, you know, see more patients, then we make more money. And so they don't listen. You know, it's like, what's your chief complaint? Well, I have a sore leg. Okay, here's something for sore leg. And again, the person isn't being treated. And yet, a study done of people, I believe it was with the flu, they were asked, was your doctor compassionate and did the doctor listen to you? Those who said yes recovered a couple of days faster than those who said no. So caring for the person has a therapeutic effect. And another is, and I mean this honestly, I tell this to patients all the time, if you're looking for a good doctor, a capable physician, ask your doctor, are you criticized by patients, nurses, and family? What do the good ones say? Yes. Why do they answer yes? Because they're learning from their mistakes. The criticism, again, is more like a coach improving your performance. It isn't a nurse walking up to you and saying, you're the worst doctor in the hospital. That doesn't help. But I can remember nurses telling me that there were better ways of doing things. And I said, what am I, the worst doctor in the hospital? And this nurse who I was talking to said, no, we know you care. So if there's a better way of doing something, we tell you. There are other doctors who make excuses and don't want to listen, so we don't bother to talk to them. And I learned that very much. I mean, one example, very simple but touching one for me, was walking into a patient's room. I was worried about this woman. She was in the hospital. As I was walking down the hall, I was thinking, how am I going to help her? And I walked in, and she said, what's wrong? I said, what do you mean? Why are you asking? She said, your face, it's all wrinkled and like shriveled up. I said, yeah, I'm really thinking about how to help you. And she said, think in the hallway and smile when you come in here. And I learned, you know, the impact it had on her. And I may also add that there are plenty of doctors who have apologized for what they thought of me. And I said, you haven't caused me any problem. Why are you apologizing? They said, it's what we thought of you until we got sick or somebody in our family got sick. And then suddenly all the things that you're talking about and writing about are helpful. And the same is true of Irene's book. You see, that's when the doctor says, thank you. Because now they're the native. You know, they're not what I call the tourist anymore. They're living with the disease. And then it becomes a very different experience. And I may add something, Irene, you can add to your book or think about. I learned to say to people, what are you experiencing? What are you going through? And the words that came out, if they were negative words like pressure, roadblock, draining, I'd say, what else in your life fits those words? And many times they'd look at me and go, oh, thank you. Because they knew what needed to be eliminated from their life. What was draining them? What was causing pressure? And that helped them get better too. So it's not just the treatment, but the emotional aspects of your life. Let us, you should have put in the book, cancel Mondays, you see. Why? Monday morning, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses because of how we feel about our work and our life. So it isn't just a mechanical treatment. It's, again, the holistic approach. And what I do is live by my experience. Not whether I believe in something or not, because that's what causes a lot of doctors trouble. Oh, I never learned about that medical school. How can I believe? If I have acupuncture, a massage, you know, all kinds of treatments from other than physicians too, then I know if it helps me, it works. The fact that I didn't learn about it in medical school doesn't mean anything anymore. So I refer a lot of people to alternative practitioners, especially naturopathic physicians, who have a totally different education. And so what they're incorporating into your life is very different, and not just a pill to treat a disease, but things to help you with. And I'm amazed over the years how many things have helped me with things. I've had Lyme disease, taking the dogs for a walk and had a Lyme bite and was quite ill. And it took far more than antibiotics to free me from the troubles that the disease, you know, brought on me. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things you mentioned, you know, in the book, too. So all these things... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone, again, it's over 20 people, over 20 stories, and everyone. And I have stories from starting from food intolerances to diabetes 1, stage 4 metastatic cancer, celiac disease, bipolar disease, arthritis. So all different kind of diseases, multiple sclerosis, lymphoma. All depression, all different kinds of diseases, and everybody, every single person said that they to heal, to find their healing, they needed to adopt a healthy lifestyle, a healthy diet, clean environment, and emotional balance. They had to find the emotional balance, and this was a very important, essential piece to their health and to their healing. Everyone said that it was a revelation. So this is just as important, emotional balance as a medical protocol for people to get healed. And a few people, especially with cancer, people who were told, basically I interviewed a few people who were sent home to die by their doctors, and they looked through all of their lives and reviewed all their lives, and they found that they had a trauma in their childhood. So they had to find their means and the strength to go through that, and perhaps to meet the people, in some cases, those were their relatives, to forgive them. Because the forgiveness, the people who were sick, they needed this forgiveness, not the people they had to forgive. And this allowed them to let go and to heal. This was an essential part of their healing.
Absolutely.
So this is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And
as you were saying, Bernie, also that the willingness of the doctors to listen and to be open is was very important to everybody and is very important. And I experienced it myself when I found what was wrong with my daughter, and I tried to tell our pediatrician. She wouldn't listen to me. She just, you know, made me understand that she wasn't interested, and I stopped. And obviously, I fired her. I found another pediatrician who she's not. She's not an integrative doctor, but she's willing to listen. She's willing. She's open enough to listen, and it's good enough for me. It works for me.
Yeah, the listening is the most important.
And I don't blame my old pediatrician. That's the way she was taught. It's not her fault, but I am now trying to work and to communicate with the doctors who are at least willing to listen, are open enough to learn. And this story, I really find this fascinating story with girl Caitlin, who was sick for 2.5 years, and for 2 years she couldn't go to school, and at the end she found a way to heal herself, and they made an appointment with the doctor, she and her mother, who couldn't find what was wrong with her, and after 2.5 years they took all the x-rays, they took all the documentation, they put it together, and they went to see that doctor in Boston, in Massachusetts, in Boston. And when this doctor saw her, he didn't recognize her. He completely thought it was a different girl. And he had to admit it was the same girl, and they were... Caitlin and her mother were trying to explain and to tell him what they did. He kind of listened for a minute, and then he said, "It looks like you don't need me anymore, and I don't need to know. You can go."
Oh, that's the sickest part of all. Because yes. I hear that so often. People are told. It's always hard to get lawyers to overcome the odds. You know, they're thinking all the time. So if they're told when they're going to die, they go home and die. This was a lawyer who was told that. He had a 5% chance of living 2 years. And he wrote me. He said while he was having his car fixed, he went in a used bookstore, saw my book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, took it off the shelf and started reading it and changed his life, and his cancer has disappeared. He went to his doctor and said, and the doctor said, you know, there's no sign of it on the x-rays anymore. And he said, "Do you want to know what I've done?" And the doctor said, "No." Now, that's the crazy part. See, I learned from my patients. When I would meet patients I thought were dead, in other words, I'm out giving a lecture, I look in the audience, I see a former patient who I thought had died. They weren't back in the office anymore. And I'd go down after the talk and say, "Hello, what are you doing? How are you? How did it?" And they always had a story to tell about what they did in their life. And even some of it was very simple. I mean, somebody says, "I was told I have a few months to live. I'm moving to Colorado. I want to die in the mountains. It's beautiful there." A year later, I called up to say to the family, "Why didn't you invite me to the funeral? I told you I wanted to come." The man answered the phone, and he said, "It was so beautiful here, I forgot to die." And when we come back after the break, I will use a term that appears in Solzhenitsyn's book, Cancer Ward, self-induced healing.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone. It's hard to stop talking when you truly feel that you're empowering others and educating them. And I'd say keep looking for an education. And I repeat, this is not about guilt or blame or failure. Because I found when I offered patients help, they would say no. Now, what I mean by help, I want you to draw a picture. I want you to read a book, come to a meeting. Well, I'm not an artist. I don't have time to read. They're so afraid that if they didn't get better, they were living with that message, see, from their parents generally. You're a failure. You'd never accomplish anything. You embarrass us. So if you gave them a challenge, they're afraid to take it. And that's why I was very impressed in Solzhenitsyn's book, Cancer Ward. See, if you get well when you're not supposed to, a doctor says you had a spontaneous remission, and what do you learn from a spontaneous remission? Nothing. You're lucky it's spontaneous. But it isn't spontaneous. Solzhenitsyn used a very powerful term in his book. One of the men says he's reading a book, and he learned that there were cases of self-induced healing, not recovery through treatment, but actual healing. And it was as though self-induced healing flooded out of the great open book like a rainbow-colored butterfly. And when I read that, it really hit home for me. See, the rainbow is a symbol of harmony in your life. Every color is an emotion. Well, when they're all in order, you have a rainbow. And the butterfly is a transformation. So again, you learn you have 6 months to live. You transform your life, create harmony, eliminate what's killing you, and to put it in another way, create a harmony in your life, and you notice 6 months later, you're not dead. I mean, another example, a very wealthy gentleman down in Miami, Florida, was told he had 5 or 6 months to live. He went to his office, he had a big business, and said to all his employees, I'm canceling the dress code. If I have a few months to live, I'm not coming in a suit and a tie anymore. You don't have to either. His wife also said, why don't you get a house on the ocean that you've always wanted and listen to Bernie's tapes and meditate and visualize. So he bought a house on the ocean where he could sit on the porch. To make a long story short, he lived for over 5.5 years from that date. And I may add, I don't wear a tie anymore because I think of him every time I look in the closet and see one. You see, he did what's right for him. Somebody else might say, hey, I'm going to dress up and look great every day. It's not whether you wear a tie or not. It's what is right for you. Let your heart make up your mind is the way I often say it to people so they're in touch with their feelings. And then explore. And if you're trying to help family members, let's put it this way. Yes, get them the book. My book, Irene's books, and give it to your friends and family members who may be sick. Now, if they never open the book, hey, it still says you care about them. Don't yell at them and say, you're supposed to read the book. You didn't read. Then you're just making them a failure. But put it in front of them. And if they respond to it, that's very positive. Because, again, these simple things. One doctor who's treating cancer patients started a new protocol, made it available. This is out in Chicago. He said he noticed that the people who lived like 10 or 15 miles away from the hospital or more did 3 times as well as the people who lived within a couple of blocks of the hospital. And I've seen that too. You know, the people who have the incentive, who are willing to travel halfway around the world to get some special treatment, you're damn right they're likely to do well because of the kind of person they are and the effort they're putting into it. Yeah, there's placebo effect, so it pays to give people hope. Hope is therapeutic also. Irene, what are you thinking about now?
Yeah, I so agree with you, Bernie. And your book, A Book of Miracles, it's one of my favorite. And
oh, yeah.
I know you are a brilliant pediatric surgeon and brilliant surgeon, and I know you saved hundreds of lives just by being a surgeon. But I also know that you saved thousands of lives just by being an author and writing your amazing book, because you could only physically attend to hundreds of people, but your book reached out to thousands and gave them hope, as you said, but not just a hope, the way it showed them the way, that there is a way,
right,
to stay alive and to actually be healthier than ever before. And
yeah,
I know it happened for so many people. And I hope that the same will happen with my book. My book has been out there, has been published only for 2 months. And it became, The Power of the Educated Patient became an instant bestseller. I didn't expect that. And I already have all over 70 reviews all over the world. And I'm having messages, private messages. Those are the most precious messages through Facebook,
yep,
through social media, from so many people thanking me for the book and saying that because they read a story in the book, because of they found something that they could relate to, they made a different health choice for them or for their child. And this is what I live for. This is so important.
Yes.
This is precious, those messages that the book already changed somebody's life, already helped somebody. And I know this is what I wrote
because it's
my passion. You can hear it in my voice.
Yes.
It's what I live for. It's what happened to me, and somebody helped me. So I hope that this book will reach out to many more people, and it will help people save some lives and change many lives, change for the better, and allow people to make different choices and to make,
yes,
what's most important, to make right choices for them.
They have to.
Different. I'm not suggesting read the story,
yeah,
and do exactly what they did. No, that's not the way I suggest to use the book. I suggest you read the story and see what would work for you, what would work for your lifestyle, and implement.
And let me emphasize
everyone who told me their stories, they gave step-by-step you know, instructions of what they did. And it might work for people, but it might not. So
yes, we each, that's why I say we have to follow our hearts and do what's right for us. I mean, I've met people who don't want to eat vegetables and would rather have an operation. Fine, you know. They'll do well after surgery, too. But then there are people who don't want surgery who would rather eat vegetables. I mean, we have to do what is right for us. And let me say, as an aside, what you've done with your life, and I felt it after millions of people, you know, read my first book. But, well, two things. One is you also mentioned the Book of Miracles. Those are a collection of many stories. Some are health-related and other things in your life. But what I learned from those stories that people sent in was when you choose life, when you choose to live a life that is life-enhancing for not just you, but for everyone, that's when the wonderful things start happening. And even what you called, you know, looking for help, the coincidences. I know somebody who was sitting in a restaurant, heard people at the table next to them talking about the same disease and a wonderful treatment that they had found out about. So they went over and asked them about it, see? Now, why are you in the restaurant then? Why are you sitting at that table? I don't think it's a coincidence, if you know what I mean, that when you're living that life, enhancing life, those coincidences start happening to you, and the wonderful things happen. And the other was for you to be, yes, grateful for what you've accomplished. I read a story called I've Done Something Real at Last. A doctor is out camping, and he's called because somebody nearby, a woman, has gone into labor, and there are no doctors there, nobody, and would he come over and help? And he does. And the child is born and not breathing, and he makes every effort to get the child breathing, even puts it against the mother's breast, which often stimulates the child, but the mother looks up at him and says, it's all right to stop. The baby's dead. But he doesn't quit, and the child starts breathing again. And he walks outside and looks up and says, I've done something real at last. And I think that's what we're all here in this world to do, do something real. And it benefits you, and it benefits the rest of the world, too. And I think in the way you've written this book and your attitude, yes, you've done something very real, and you've made a difference in people's lives. And again, it's up to the person. As I said, you could be the coach of a football team, and if people don't show up for practice, it doesn't matter how good a coach you are. But when they show up and you are the right coach, then wonderful things begin to happen. And I must add one more thing. I tell people to be a love warrior. What I mean by that is if you see your disease as the enemy, because I hate reading in the paper when somebody dies, oh, they failed, you know, or they lost their battle. This is not about a battle. It's about healing. And again, I think that's what your book talks about. It's not about fighting every kind of disease. It's about healing yourself and your life. That's why I repeat, it's what cured them, what worked, and how it can work for you. You know, those are the things that you're sharing with people. So again, it's not about fighting a battle. It's about healing your life and your experience.
Right.
And by
right.
the way, do you have a Irene, do you have a website or where people could look things up or contact you?
Yes, Irene, health and wellness educator. Irene, I have a couple of websites. www.irenehealthandwellnesseducator.com, and another one is by the name of the book, www.thepowerofthe-educated-patient.com.
Okay, thank you. We have to stop now. It's always a pleasure to talk to somebody you agree with, so thank you. It's a wonderful collection of things that you've learned about and are sharing with people. And once again, The Power of the Educated Patient, proven strategies for reclaiming your health and well-being that you won't find in a conventional medical office. Thank you, Irene.
Thank you so much, Dr. Siegel. Thank you.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.